Welcome, and thank you for joining us today for There Is a Hope, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Mark Howard, pastor of Christ Community Church in Bells, Tennessee. These next few minutes could very well be a divine appointment the Lord has for your life, as you hear what He has to say to you personally, and as you trust in the hope that He offers to you in Jesus Christ. And now, let's join Dr. Howard as he shares God's Word with us today.
Welcome into another podcast entitled, There's Hope. My name is Mark Howard. You are always welcome here. Each week as we gather around the Word of God and we delve in together into the truth of God's Word. And today is no different because, as you know, last week we began a study that I'm not so sure that we are really convinced in our hearts that God wants to do this, but we're going to get back into that study today, and we're talking about the guidance of the Lord. Do you really believe that the Lord is interested in guiding your life? When is the last time that you went before the Lord seeking His guidance for something that you're going through in life? How many areas does God's guidance cover in our life? Or are we just supposed to use our common sense and figure things out the best we can? What does the Bible have to say about God's guidance? And of course, we learned last week that there are many words that are interrelated one to another when you talk about the guidance of the Lord. For instance, the scripture talks about leading me, teaching me, showing me, instructing me, answering me, guiding me. They're all related. And the scripture is filled with individuals who relied upon the Lord in their life for day-by-day guidance. Now, in today's world, we are people who are constantly making decisions. In fact, I've read in several places that they have determined that either consciously or subconsciously in our waking hours, that we make upwards of 2,000 decisions every hour of our life. Now, you might say, Mark, that's way more than I would have imagined. And I thought the number was pretty high, but I put this number to the test. And to prove whether this was right or wrong in my own life, I took the routine that I normally go through when I take time out early in the morning to go over to one of our local gyms and work out. And I just began thinking of what decisions I make consciously and subconsciously when I begin to leave the house to get over to the gym and walk in the door. And I won't go into all of the things that I came up with, but I will tell you I could see very quickly how consciously and subconsciously we are making decisions and making choices at a greater speed than I ever imagined. We don't look at it as that, but many times these are just the normal things we do every day, and we never would consider inviting the Lord to guide us in these decisions we're making because we're old enough by now and smart enough by now to have figured all of this out. But I just want to read in starting out today from Romans chapter 8. I love Romans chapter 8. It's that passage of Scripture that talks about our life being led by the Holy Spirit of God. If you've ever wondered, what does the Spirit-controlled life look like? That precious gift that we have been given from the moment we were saved, the gift of the Holy Spirit, God Himself moving within inside of us and wanting to live out His life through us day in and day out. There's one verse of Scripture, though, that caught my eye. That's Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Let me read it to us. It says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now this is one of many evidences the Word of God teaches us that are proofs that we truly are sons and daughters of God. We are a part of the family of God. We are born again from within. It's an indication of what life is like once we become Christ followers in our life. And I love that term, Christ follower. So it says in verse 14 again, because those who are led by the Spirit of God. Now that word led has the idea of being guided and directed and counseled in life. It's the evidence that we truly are sons of God. It's exactly what the Scripture says. So I dug deeper into the Scripture and I found out that where it says those who are led by the Spirit, that is a present tense verb. So let me read it like it's understood in the original language that the New Testament was written in, because those who are being led continuously by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. In other words, we don't live the Christian life like a self-guided tour. The Bible says those who are truly sons of God, they are constantly being led by the Spirit of God. They're in tune with the Spirit of God. It's like the old hymn that says, He leadeth me, O blessed thought. Isn't it amazing how involved the Spirit of God, who lives within us, wants to be involved in everything in our life? You see, you and I, if we understand God's perspective of our lives as His children, God does not divide our life up into the sacred and the secular. All of life is sacred in the eyes of God for His children. All of life is spiritual. So that's how we know that the Holy Spirit wants to be involved in everything. The question is, are we allowing Him to do that? Because if we're not, we are missing out on a measure of God's grace in His life that He wants to demonstrate to us, His strength and power and ability to accomplish what we cannot. You might say, Mark, what should my life look like if it's going to be guided by the Holy Spirit of God? Well, do you remember the time back in 2 Chronicles where Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah were about, got word that the Moabites and the Ammonites were getting ready to come in and to literally destroy them as a people of God? And Jehoshaphat stood before the Lord one day and he said, we have no might against this great company that's coming against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Do you ever run into those times in your life where you just don't know what to do? By the way, how do you and I know that we are walking dead center in the will of God if we're not seeking His guidance in our life day in and day out? If we're not appealing to Him, if we're not giving Him the liberty, the Spirit of God, the liberty day by day to give us leadership, learning to listen to the Spirit. What does the Scripture say over and over? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. What has the Spirit of God said to you lately? How has the Spirit of God been leading you lately? Just think of all the decisions that you have made since you awakened this morning. Our life is composed of one decision after another. We face decisions concerning our vocation, decisions in our marriage, decisions in your career choice for our college, decisions concerning our health, decisions concerning when we travel, decisions concerning our relationship with other people. Decisions we face when we spend time listening to God every day and that one-on-one time with Him. Decisions concerning our friendships, the scheduling of our time, our reading habits, our use of our money. On and on and on we could go, constantly making choices. You see, it's the heart of the Father that He wants us to consider these issues. Will the choice, the decision I'm about to make concerning what I'm about to do or how I'm about to behave, or what I'm about to say, will this bring honor and glory to the Lord? Or if you listen close enough to the guidance of the Lord, you come up with an idea, but you start to sense that churning inside of your heart. You start sensing the Spirit of God saying no. You say, well, how do you know when He says no? Because when we sense that the Spirit of God is saying to us, not now, stop, wait, our spirit is wanting to move ahead and go, no, 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 I've got to do this. I've waited long enough. I've been patient long enough. I cannot do this another day. I've got to do this now. I can only share with you in the last 4 or 5 months, there have been things that I planned to do and things that I planned to say and people I have felt like I needed to go and share some things with, but the Spirit of God put the brakes on me and said, no, let me handle this. Don't get in my way. And you know what? To this day, He has handled every one of those things. If I'd gone ahead with my way, my plans, my desires, and I had left God in the back seat of my life, I would have had so many forest fires I would have been trying to put out today, I never could have gotten them snuffed out. What are you faced with today in your life that is important to God? You say, why would what I'm facing today be important to God? Because since you belong to Him, His reputation is at stake in the decisions you make. And if we make decisions without His leadership, we could ruin His name before other people who know us as believers. You know, when you look around some days, it's sad that so many Christian lives are a resemblance of the aftermath of an atomic bomb going off because they wouldn't seek the Spirit of God for guidance in their life. You say, what do you mean an atomic bomb going off? Well, let me share with you what a picture of that looks like. And I've always been intrigued by the very last verse in the very last chapter of the book of Judges. The last chapter is chapter 21. And remember, God was continually, once they got into the promised land, sending judges to them to work them through all the issues that they faced because they would not seek God's guidance. And the people of God got into trouble over and over and over. And so the last verse says, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. In other words, everyone became their own authority. They're the ones that had the final word, not the Lord. When you read this last verse, there's no reference to God at all. It just says everyone did as he saw fit. Everyone did right in his own eyes. They made up the rules as they went along. You say, Mark, what's the key to living under the guidance of God in my life? Well, just hear this phrase one more time. Everyone did that which was right in his own eyes, and it left them in a mess. This is what happens when Jesus is not yielded to as our Lord and our King. You see, every day in your life and in my life, there is a battle for our mind. Did you know that? Satan is battling for our mind every day. While the Holy Spirit wants to renew your mind every day, Satan wants to warp and ruin your mind every day. He wants to hold you in bondage to where you don't seek the guidance of God, and then you pay the price. You say, well, what keeps my mind from seeking God and His guidance every day? Well, I'm going to turn over here to the book of 1 John chapter 2 because it's laid out so vividly for us what happens when we're all doing what's right in our own eyes and we're yielding to the temptations that Satan takes us to every day. But he starts in the mind. He starts working in our mind. Our mind gets to churning. And listen to the words of John to these new Christians that he was writing to. He was warning them, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now that's a weighty statement there. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man or the cravings of our flesh. Another word for cravings is the word lust. Now when we hear the word lust, we always think that that's referring to sexual connotations. Not necessarily. The word lust means cravings. It means desires. It means to have an obsession with. So everything in the world is related to the lust of the flesh. So just keep in mind, if you wonder what the flesh is all about, take the word and spell it out. Sometimes people need to write the word flesh out, F-L-E-S-H, and then read the word backwards. But first of all, put an X through the last letter in the word flesh, X out H, and read the word backwards. And that will be a tremendous description to you and to me of what the flesh life is. It's all about the self life. That's our number one enemy right there. And that's what Satan will use in our lives to get our attention off the Lord and listening to the Spirit give us guidance. He seeks to get us to be obsessed with the lust of our self. Keep in mind that when Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he told Timothy, mark this down, Timothy, there will be terrible times in the last days, perilous times. Now, you know the first thing that he listed under the leadership of the Holy Spirit? People are going to be, in the last days, people are going to be lovers of themselves. There it is right there. There's the self-life. Lovers of their flesh, lovers of their self-life. So, John said, everything in the world that we get caught up in, that's proof that we love the world and we really don't love God as we should. The lust, the desires, the obsession, the cravings of our flesh. Number two, the lust of our eyes, the craving of our eyes, the obsession with our eyes. And the third thing is the boasting of what he has and does. That's the pride of life. You need some help in understanding what the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are all about. Let's just look at the word lust. What does it mean in the New Testament to lust after something? It's the desire to want something so badly that nothing can stop us from going after it. And it always starts in the mind. And keep this in mind, by the way, since we're talking about the mind, lust and desires are birthed within us and they lead to actions. But also keep this in mind, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that never comes from the Spirit of God. That comes from the spirit of darkness, Satan himself. The roaring lion seeking to devour your life. Keep this in mind. It's all a lie. Everything he's telling you that you think you've got to have, that you've got to do, and then boasting about it. How do we win these battles? Well, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we have to cast the lies down. Maybe you've never read this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, but it's dealing with those things that seek to overtake our mind. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They have divine power to demolish strongholds." And he went on to say, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God." Now listen to this. "We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." We take every thought that's being placed into our minds. We submit it all to the obedience of Christ. In other words, we run it through what the Word of God says and what the life of Christ teaches us. And we take captive those thoughts that are destroying us internally, because it's in the heart and in the mind where those battles begin. That's why Proverbs says in chapter 4, verse 23, "Guard your heart, for out of it comes the issues of life." So I want to ask you to go over to Psalm 31 and verse 3. Let's get some more help on this matter of being guided by the Holy Spirit. Psalm 31 and verse 3. Now there's two possibilities behind what David was writing about here. Either it was because he was fleeing from Saul, or because he was running from his son, Absalom, who was out to take over the throne from his father. And by the way, Psalm chapter 31 is quoted throughout the Bible in a number of passages. Let me list these for you so you might sometime this week maybe go look at these passages. Psalm chapter 71. Psalm 71 quotes the first three verses of Psalm 31. Jonah uses a verse out of Psalm 31 in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 8. Jeremiah made reference to Psalm 31 six different times. Paul made reference to Psalm 31, 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Jesus on the cross, he made reference to Psalm 31. And you can read about that in Luke 23, 46. And here is the verse he used out of Psalm 31. "Into your hands I commit my spirit." That's a reference to the complete trust that Jesus had in his Father. Absolute dependence that he had in his Father. And then Stephen, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 59, made reference to Psalm 31. But what I want to make reference to here in Psalm 31, I'll read verse 1. "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge." You want to do a good study? Do a study on the Lord being your refuge. "Let me never be put to shame," the psalmist said. "Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress." Hear the declarations that the psalmist is making about who the Lord is in his life? Why shouldn't we do that? Why should we not take these verses and turn them around, and where David said, "Since you are my rock and my fortress," we say to the Lord, "Lord, you are my rock. You are my fortress for the sake of your name." See, there we come back to that little phrase, "for the sake of your name." To honor and glorify the name of the Lord. What did the psalmist ask the Lord to do? This is amazing. Verse 3, "For the sake of your name, lead and guide me." In other words, David was saying, "Lord, I don't want to blow it. I don't want to embarrass you. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me." Why do we not need to pray that same prayer every day in our lives? In fact, let me ask you this question. This came to me this afternoon. When do you and I get to the point in our life as Christians that we no longer need a guide? What is the point in our life to where we no longer need to go before the Lord and say to him, just like the psalmist said, "For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me"? You see, so many people live life as their own boss. No place for the Lord's intervention in their life. They feel like, "I can handle this. Why do I need the Lord? I've made a good showing so far in my life, the way I've lived." But for those who want to live life and be their own boss, no time for the Lord, just let an unplanned event take place. An accident, a tragedy, a sickness, a death emerges and takes place, and there seems to be a brief, temporary need for God and His intervention. But then more times than not, they revert right back to where they have lived with no need for Him. I'm asking you today to search your heart and be honest. Do you need a guide in your life? Do you really want a guide in your life? Or are you just content with being the CEO? I think all of us know what a CEO is. It's the highest officer that's charged with the management of an organization. See? Hey, Lord, I've got this. I'll be my own CEO. Just go work with someone else. In other words, I'll be in charge of the management of my life. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 16 and verse 7. Let me back up over here just for a moment and read his confession. He says in Psalm 16, 7, I will praise the Lord who gives me counsel. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I will praise the Lord who gives me counsel. Even at night, my heart instructs me. What do you have to look forward to at night? The psalmist says, the Lord even counsels him during the nighttime hours. But now keep in mind, our minds are going 90 to nothing, up to 2,000 decisions being made, consciously or subconsciously, every hour. So many people have a hard time falling asleep because their mind's always in gear, always trying to stay ahead, always trying to plan, but never any time to stop and say, Lord, I need your counsel. Remember last week what we saw in the warning that God gave to David? After all of the things that God forgave him about, and he told him, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And then he comes around and says, and I will counsel you, and I will watch over you with my eye. I will counsel you. In other words, that's the same meaning of the word guide you, lead you. I'll be directly involved in your life. Now you might say, Mark, I've been doing it way too long. I'm pretty satisfied with where I am. Well, this verse of scripture came up this past week, Isaiah chapter 30, when the word of the Lord was being laid out to the children of Israel about why they were in the mess they were in. Listen to Isaiah 30 verse 1, woe to the obstinate children. What's an obstinate child? An obstinate child is a child that has rebelled against their parents. An obstinate member of the tribe of Judah back then was one who had spent their time in life rebelling against God. They sought advice from everyone else but the Lord. Hey, who are your go-to people when you need help with a decision in your life? Who are the people that you pick up the phone and call, or you text immediately, or you run over to their office or run over to their house and say, hey, you know, I'm facing something in my life. What do you think I ought to do? Where is God in all this? I'm not saying that God doesn't use people to help us in making decisions, but I'm just saying, why do we, as God's people, make the Lord our last resort instead of our first resource? Because if you're going to ask counsel from someone who's not walking with the Lord, be careful. Their phone line is busy. They don't have time to listen to the Lord, and they could be giving you ungodly counsel. Do you believe the Lord is going to give you ungodly counsel? No, He'll get it right the first time. Why take a chance the other way? How many of our lives are all over the map? And so many things that we're involved in every day. We're like here one minute, there the next minute, constantly on the move. Our minds running from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed. And then for a lot of people, our minds running all night long. I couldn't go to sleep, people say, because my mind was just running 90 miles an hour. Well, what if you turn that off so you could be still and listen to God instruct you? Can you imagine during the nighttime hours, you wake up and you go, oh, here I go again. Instead, you've got a joyful spirit in saying, Lord, maybe you awakened me because you wanted to speak something to me in my heart. Because that's the only time the Lord can get you and I still. The Lord wants to be to you and me more than just the 911 number that we have on our phones to call when we have an emergency. And I'm not just talking about in helping us learning to live life, but I'm talking about the joy of living life in the center of God's will for you and for me. Jeremiah said it so well in Jeremiah 10:23. I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. Listen to this. It is not for man to direct his steps. There's another verse that says, the steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. I don't know if I want the Lord involved in some areas of my life, Mark. Then you haven't surrendered all. Now, someone else is going to be saying, but wait a minute, I don't want to be like that. I want Him involved in my life to where I can find the guidance and the leadership and the counsel that I need every day in my life. Where am I going to start? I'm glad you asked that question because we're going to close with Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and I just want to read the first two verses. This is a wonderful place to start. In fact, if you read through Psalm 119, you will find out why you and I ought to be in the Word of God every day. The psalmist does not talk in these 176 verses as if this is something that he does once a month or once every time a revival rolls around. No, the Word of God was so important to his life, you can just hear it oozing out of him. The joy that's coming out of his heart because it was something that God used in his life day and night. Look in verse 1. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless. You want to know the guidance of the Lord, the teaching of the Lord, the counsel of the Lord that will touch on every area of your life? By the way, if you don't want the Lord touching on certain areas in your life, you're having a problem with sin in that area. Let me say that one more time. If you have areas in your life that you don't want the Lord to get involved in, you don't want His guidance, you don't want His help there, you don't want Him telling you what to do and what not to do, it's because you have a sin problem in that area. Mark it down. If you've got a sign on a door in your life that says, do not disturb, do not enter, off limits, private, no entrance, that's the problem. Listen to what the psalmist says in verse 1 of Psalm 119. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless. When he uses that word blessed, he's talking about an assurance that a person has. It's like a promise, a guarantee, it's a security, a certainty. It's freedom from doubt. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless. When he uses the word ways there, he's talking about the direction of our life, the pathway that we are following in life. Not just the pathway we follow when we come to church, but this is in all of life. Blessed are they whose ways, plural, are blameless. That means the direction of your life is sincere, it's complete, it's undefiled. I guess I would say in New Testament terms that is referring to a life that is Christ-centered. You want to be blessed in your life? Live like that. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless. Ways. Verse just came to my heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own thoughts about guidance and direction and leadership. This is for the child of God. I understand when those who aren't linked to the Lord Jesus Christ in their life yet, I understand why they live like that. But for the child of God, this is truth we need to grab hold of today, or rather let it grab hold of us. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless. Hear it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your, what's the next word? In all your ways, acknowledge Him as Lord. Acknowledge the Lord as the Lord of your life. In all your ways, acknowledge Him as Lord. And get this, He will direct your path. So blessed are those whose ways are blameless who walk. That word walk is a word that gives us the picture of our lifestyle, who walk, are coming and going according to the law of the Lord, the instruction and the direction of God's Word. You're blessed if you live like that. And the last verse, verse 2, blessed are they who keep His statutes. His statutes. The word statutes is another word for the Word of God. You are blessed when you keep the Word of God. In other words, you guard the Word of God. You watch over it. You observe it. You are a doer of the Word of God. That's where the joy comes from. Whatever you do, don't miss this last part of verse 2. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and who seek Him with all their heart. You want to be blessed? You keep the Word of God. You let Him direct your path, yes, but it's because you are seeking Him with all your heart. Don't have time to go into this today, but it's the seeking of Him. It's what you're looking for. You're not just looking for, God, bail me out. God, give me 3 steps here, 5 steps there. No, you're seeking Him as you're seeking His guidance. You want to hear from Him. You're seeking Him. I let out in a funeral this past week of a precious woman, 42 years old, a wife and a mother of 2 children who died of pancreatic cancer. 9 months and life was over with. But this woman knew Christ. Her husband knew Christ. They walked through this journey for 9 months together, seeking the Lord, praying for God's wisdom, using everything that could be done. But in the end, the disease took her life. But listen to this. 30 seconds, her husband told me this, 30 seconds before she died, she looked up at him and she said to him, I'm ready to go. And he told me 30 seconds after she told him that, I'm ready to go, she went to be with Jesus. And we shared during that service that we don't sorrow as others who have no hope. We are thankful that the Lord had the final word over her life and she is absent from the body and present with the Lord. But listen to what happened. After the service was over with, I was talking to different people and all of a sudden I looked up and here came a young adult man toward me. I'd never seen him before in my life, but he looked into my eyes and he said, could I give you a hug? And I said, sure. And he gave me a hug and I gave him a hug and I said, hey, tell me who you are. Tell me where you're from. And we got to talking and sharing about things. And I called him the next day to talk with him just to follow up. I told him I would give him a call back. I said, I don't believe that God brings people like you into my life on a whim or a chance. I don't know what God's up to, but I'm here to help you however I can, pray for you however I can. And he opened up and I want you to listen to what he said to me. and then we're going to pray. Because this has everything to do with this verse that says, blessed are the ones who seek the Lord, seek Him with all their heart. He told me these words. He said, the Lord's been at work in my life in the last several months. And he said, I've come to the point in my life that I want to know Christ. He said, I grew up trying to do the rules, but I've realized it's grace that has changed my life. And he said it again, I just want to know Christ. Now you tell me, is that young man on the right way? Is he headed in the right direction? He's a husband. He's a father of four children. Now he's wanting to become a man who is after the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to know Christ. How about you? I know we've talked about guidance and direction and everything else today, but above it all has got to be that intense beating of our heart to say, Lord, I just want to know you. Because if we get to know him, the guidance will come, the direction will come, because we have yielded ourselves to say, you are Lord. You are Lord. You have risen from the dead, and you are Lord of my life. And I acknowledge you as that in my life, and knowing that you will direct my path. There's the key about all this matter of being guided. Make it your aim to seek him with all your heart. Father, thank you immensely for every verse that we have read today and been exposed to. But thank you, greatest of all, that this last part of this verse really sums it all up for us. If we seek you with all of our heart, certainly the guidance and the direction and the counsel will come forth. Because as we read right at the first, those who are being led by the Spirit of God are sons of God because they want to know Christ. May this be a refreshing week in our lives as we get headed in that direction sooner rather than later. And it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray this prayer. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to There Is a Hope, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Mark Howard, pastor of Christ Community Church in Bells, Tennessee. You can hear Dr. Howard every week right here on this podcast, where he'll be sharing a new message from God's Word that centers in the hope that you can find for your daily life in Jesus Christ. Should you have any questions about today's program or desire to share any prayer needs so that someone might pray for you this week, you may write us at There Is a Hope, P.O. Box 610, Bells, Tennessee, 38006. Or you may contact us by email at thereisahope@cccbells.net. And above all, it's our prayer that you remember that regardless of what you're facing in life today, there has been, there is, and there always will be a hope in Jesus.